This is the third section of our beginning prayer. And the third section, I want to talk a little about where we go when we pray. And it's in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us in our time of need. When we pray, we're going to the throne of grace. I think that's so beautiful. When the Old Testament priests went into the presence of God in the holies of holies, if he had any unconfessed sin in his life, he would be struck dead. If he had any dirt on his personal body or on his clothing, he would be struck dead. He could not go before a holy God unless everything was perfect. But we have a far better relationship today than even the Old Testament priest did, because we could come boldly into God's throne, the throne where he hears prayers, the throne where he answers prayers, the throne where God will make things happen as we pray. Speak to hearts of people. It's amazing. The throne of grace, where we can walk in there boldly and say, Father, may I have a word with you, so to speak. That's praying. Praying to the Father in secret, and he will reward you openly. Other people prayed to God publicly and made a big show of it, but God wasn't listening. That's why in the second one we talked about having that place of prayer where we could just come to God and share our hearts before him, open before him. Sometimes you may be praying with tears going down your cheeks because of some pain that you're facing or a family member's facing. So remember Hebrews 4. Since Jesus Christ, a great high priest, lived on this earth and went through the heartaches. He knew what it was like to be hungered. He knew what it's like to be in storms. He knew what it was like to be betrayed. He knew what it's like when people left him. Many of the people that followed him left him. He knows what that's like. And you can share your heart with him because he too walked on this earth and went through these things. That's what that's saying. So you can come boldly and say, Lord, I'm hurting right now. I've been betrayed by a friend. I've been maligned or gossiped about. Or I'm going through really financial difficulties right now, Father, and I need your help. Or, Lord, I got some extra money I wasn't counting on. Tell me who is in need right now, that I may meet that need. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to have the privilege to go into the very presence of God without fear that I'm going to die because I didn't confess some sin or some failure or whatever. But I can go and I walk up to the throne and he says, share your heart with me. And you can do that. The second thing that we want to cover a little bit in this beginning prayer stuff, and that is, who should we pray for? Does Scripture give us some indication who we should pray for? And it certainly does. And that's in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. And so, you know, I'm sharing the Scriptures with you. I trust you'll get your Bible and look these verses up, jot them down as I mention them. But here is an urging from the Apostle Paul. I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. So pray for all the people you could think of. In a church I was going to, the pastor has left that church, but he told us to select one person in our neighborhood, one household, and pray for that household that God would allow you to be able to share in depth your walk of faith with them. And this household I picked was right across the street. And I began to pray for this single doctor that I would have an opportunity not just to say hi and you know, be friendly, but really be able to share with him on a deeper level. And I was praying regularly that God would make it possible, and I was looking for God to give an opening. And he did one day. Our driveways are right across from each other, and this fellow drove down to back in his driveway, and I happened to be down in the front of the yard, and I saw him, and he really looked really sad. And I knew his first name, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he was a single fellow, and he said that his dog had a seizure. Now, he was a medical doctor, and he had taken his dog to a vet center here in our town, and there are many of them, and they said there's no hope that the dog is going to die. He just couldn't believe that. This dog meant a lot to him, living alone, and so he told me, he said, "You know, I'm really sad, but I'm going to take my dog clear across the state, I mean, a long ways, to a special vet kind of a place, I don't even know, for a dog hospital where the top veterinaries are." And he had to lift the dog, put him in the back of his pickup. And before he left, he said, "I'm going to pray that God will heal your dog." Now, that was not a prayer I've ever prayed before or since. But I felt led that maybe this is the opening that God has given me. And so when he drove off, I began to pray. I've never prayed for God to heal a dog before or since, even when we had dogs. But I knew that this was an opening to this fellow. And I prayed. And I asked God to give wisdom to the vet center there, and that God would heal his dog, either through the vets or with his own divine healing. And God healed the dog. And I was rejoicing, because it gave me opportunities to share on a much deeper level with this fellow. And we became pretty good friends. And when he moved away to go into specialize, back to university to specialize in more education in a certain area, he said, "Jim, the thing I'm sorry about is I never had a chance to go to one of the places that you were speaking. But keep sending me your prayer letter. And if I can, I trust there'll be a place fairly close to where I am. I could go and hear you speak." So, you know, I don't know. God had a greater desire for that man's soul. And God laid him on my heart. The pastor encouraged us to pray and keep praying. And I kept praying because the burden wasn't lifted, as we talked about earlier. And when I prayed for the dog, I didn't have to pray all night long or whatever. I knew that God heard my voice. I knew that God was going to heal this dog for the sake of this young doctor coming to a deeper relationship with God. What a blessing. Okay, so Timothy says, I urge you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Now, they're not praying, but you intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. I don't know where you're living and watching this video. You could be in, since we're in over 228 countries of the world or nations of the world, you could be in one of those. I don't know whether you have a king or a queen, whether you have a president or whatever you have in leadership there. But God says in your praying, don't forget those that are in authority. Why? So we can live a peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. See, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved, to understand the truth. For there is only one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world just at the right time. So, verse 8 says, in every place of worship, I want men and women and young people to pray with holy hands lift up to God, free from anger and controversy. So, we're to pray for all those in authority. And it doesn't have to just be the president or king or queen or whatever nation you're in and the structure. But what about your boss at work? What about if you're in school, the professors or the teachers you have and so on? So God is saying, as we're praying, pray for those in authority, and pray that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Another thing that you can do is when you hear of trouble going on anywhere in the world, riots, bombings, fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, all that kind of stuff, flooding, whatever. That's an opportunity for you as a child of God to pray for, to intercede to God. Go to the throne of grace for the people that are affected by this negative activity. And then the last thing I want to share with you is what we call warfare praying. And that is to go against the powers of darkness. And this is Ephesians 6. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor, it's the armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the enemy. Because if you are going to be a man or a woman or a young person of prayer, expect that you start becoming a target for the enemy. I don't think Satan fears the dollar you put in the offering, or no matter how much money you put in the offering, but when he sees a believer on his knees before God and crying out to God, he fears that person because they're going to have power in their life. Spiritual power because of their connection with God through prayer. And he said, put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand against the strategies of the enemy, for we're not fighting flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, when we pray, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the word of God. There are four places we can get the word of God, or the idea there of truth. The Bible is the word of truth. Jesus is the person of truth. He says, I am the way, the truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And the Father, God the Father, is the source of all truth. And put on the body armor of God's righteousness. See, when I gave my sin to God, he gave me the righteousness of Christ. I stand in Christ's righteousness against the enemy. And he says, for shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so you'll be fully prepared. So we need to stand in the shoes or sandals of peace. So when the enemy comes and tries to get me to fear or whatever, I can stand in peace and resist him. And then he tells us, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith. The shield is faith, that I believe in the power of God. I believe that God is able to protect me. I believe that I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and so on. So that faith will stop all the fiery darts of the devil. And put on salvation as a helmet. Salvation was the method by which God delivered me. I was delivered out of the hand of the enemy and placed in the hand of God. So I want to protect my mind that I have been delivered and I have victory over the one I'm facing. Satan was defeated at the cross. And then he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God needs to go forth in the power of the Spirit. In my office, there are verses on all the walls. They're beautifully done on the walls of my office. And the words on the wall do not protect the people in the office. They're wonderful, but the enemy has done things in my office with the scripture on the wall. But he's saying here, it's not the scripture on the wall is my shield, but it's the faith in the word of God, my personal faith in the word of God, that will shield me. And then he says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. And that Spirit-led prayer, the Holy Spirit can lead you to pray, and you don't even know why you're praying like that, and praying maybe for that person or whatever, but just trust God. When God may wake you up at night and lay a person on your heart, those are called night watches, where God wakes you up and wants you to pray. Pray for that person. I could tell you a lot of wonderful stories of missionaries and Christians that I know, how God awakened them at night and told them specifically how to pray. It just came to their mind and they began to pray. I trust that in your prayer journal, you'll be a person that God can wake up to cry out to God for someone he lays on your heart. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. They need our prayers, and especially when you hear when I was in Nigeria, the church that I spoke in and had a wonderful, wonderful meeting there. Later on, that church was burnt to the ground, and the pastor and the elders were killed. I had no idea what was going to happen. And many of the believers died too. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And that's what our burden bearer thing is on. We want to give people all over the world to connect them with people that believe in prayer, to pray for them, to pray for their burdens that they can share with. There are people in countries where they don't know who to share with, but we want to give them that privilege to do so. And he says, Paul says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, and that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. And I could ask that for me. I prayed that I would say the right stuff as we went through these three areas of prayer. I trust if you are a new believer, you may want to go back and watch some of this again. Write the verses down. Look in Scripture. That's what's important. What does the Word of God say? But if you're an old timer and you just wanted to hear what I had to say, I trust there's something I shared with those who are beginning a life of prayer that this would be a blessing to them. We have much on prayer, deeper aspects of prayer, on our website. I trust you'll avail yourself to it. And maybe, if you're a prayer person watching, that you would like to be a burden bearer. And you can look on our website how that you can sign up to be a burden bearer for people in other countries as well as in ours that stand in need of prayer. Bless you.